The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Lots to get to on today's program. Yet another political earthquake in Germany. If you recall, over the last week, we've been talking about Brexit, we've been talking about the resurgence, and we've been saying that you can look for events, prophetic events in Europe, in Germany, to accelerate. And that certainly is happening. For the first time ever, you have mainstream political parties in Germany cooperating, working with the AfD party. This is the party that just started in 2013. The far right party, the Nazi party. Really? It's only been around for 7 years. And of course, only Trumpet readers would know this because who else covers it? It's been around for 7 years. It started in the tiniest of ways. And then it's in recent years, it's been shocking the world. Well, it should shock the world. But as I say, it doesn't get much coverage. Now it's the third biggest party in Germany? The Alternative for Deutschland. That happened as of, I guess, 2-3 years ago. And we were all over that story then. And then now, to this point, you have all of the major parties in Germany. They just basically, even with its rising popularity, you have all of the parties in Germany, they've just shunned this party. They have not worked with this party. They have not cooperated with this party until yesterday. I've been talking about the recent Trumpet magazines, just how spot on they've been, and how that we prepare these weeks in advance. It takes, well, in some cases, months to produce the articles, and then, of course, to lay out the magazine, to send it off to the printer. Of course, it takes time going through the mail to land in your mailboxes. And then, like I pointed out yesterday, here's the most recent issue of the Trumpet magazine. You've got Nancy Pelosi on the cover. You've got Adam Schiff. You've got Gerald Nadler, and you've got this fundamental transformation that has happened to the United States. And you still see how much is there just because of the constant fighting that goes on. Yesterday, they finally acquitted the president of the United States. I'll come back to the Germany story because I'm going to refer you again to the last three Trumpet magazines. But to just close the loop on this, since we've been talking about it quite a lot in recent days, the big story yesterday was, even though he was acquitted by a comfortable margin, the big story was that Mitt Romney joined in with the Democrats, which isn't exactly a shock, given the animosity there between him and the president. I thought it was interesting, though, Mr. Romney talking about, over and again, his profound faith. He sounded almost like Nancy Pelosi, who, throughout this process, has talked about how sobering it's been, how prayerful this time is for the United States, how much she loves everyone. Well, her mask, as I said yesterday, it finally came off. And I suppose you could say the same about Mr. Romney, the senator from Utah. But what about these headlines? The Globe and Mail, acquitted by the Senate, high in the polls, his foes in disarray. This was Donald Trump's best week ever. This was his best week ever, even in fighting against this radical left, this radical element. Another one here says, Trump barrels into 2020 campaign emboldened after acquittal. He was celebrating yesterday. You could see it from his tweets. You could see it from the way he responded to Mr. Romney's vote. He keeps barreling ahead, less than 9 months away from a chance to be reelected to a second term. The resurgence. Well, he's obviously going to be meeting, he's going to be meeting up with a lot of resistance from here on out. Yesterday, they had this discussion on CNN, and here he's acquitted. Overwhelming support among the Republicans. Everyone in the House and the Senate, except for Mr. Romney, enthusiastically supporting this president. And yet here you hear from the radical left on this CNN roundtable about them talking about how that, well, hey, this isn't over. We can still, this is the media. The media, and they're quoting Hillary Clinton and others saying that this fight's not over. We can still impeach. Listen to this discussion, clip one.
The president has been acquitted by the United States Senate. Double jeopardy does not apply in politics. And so as the new revelations come out, whether it's the Bolton book, whether it's the new emails or Vivian Salama on CNN reporting on today, that do shed new light on the controversies here. Nancy Pelosi in her house, Jerry Nadler saying today, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, they're going to subpoena John Bolton. That's risky for the Democrats. It is risky because it's T-ball for Trump politically to say this is gratuitous, this is all political. But it's also risky for all these senators who just voted on the president's side, as this new information comes out. So we should pause and reflect on the history of today. In the context of impeachment, this is over, but it's not over.
Absolutely not. And Laura Coates, Hillary Clinton just did a tweet. As the president's impeachment trial began, Republican senators pledged an oath to defend the Constitution. Today, 52 of them voted to betray that oath, and all of us were entering dangerous territory for our democracy, Hillary Clinton writes. It'll take all of us working together to restore it. So this is not the end of it.
This is, quoting Hillary Clinton, of course, says Jake Tapper, this is not the end of it. He adds to her statement. It's not over, they say. They can't even give the president one day. They certainly aren't going to congratulate him. But all that he said about the economy during the State of the Union address, and then the acquittal, how it was lopsided. It was a setup from the beginning, lopsided in the other direction. A setup from the beginning. Victor Davis Hanson has a piece, by the way, The Art of Warping Elections, and he just goes through all of these events that happened during the Obama years, how that if this is impeachable, if this is how low the bar is now, how many times should Barack Obama have been impeached? You would think Mr. Romney would have been a little bit stronger in his criticism of what Barack Obama, he ran against him in 2012, back when the Obama administration was using the IRS. He was using the IRS as a weapon to help him get reelected. He wanted to get reelected. So you know all the things that he said to Medvedev. Well, after the election, I have more flexibility. And then the things he was doing with his own government. And not to mention what the Biden family was doing, which is what President Trump brought up with Zelensky. Here, Mr. Romney gets up yesterday and basically says, you know, what the Bidens did, that's okay. But the president, what he did, that's high crimes and misdemeanors. So he's right there with CNN. He's right there with Adam Schiff. He's right there with the fundamental transformation. That's in the March issue. We just got it here today at Edstone. The March issue. And if you think about, again, just how timely all of these issues are, the month before that, you have the age of protest. And, of course, you see the, as we've written about and talked about, even coming out of the fall festivals a few months ago, the age of protest. all of these movements, these uprisings right around the world, and then go back a month before that, and guess who's on the cover? Is this his hour? That's Carl Theodor zu Gutenberg. I hope you're a Trumpet subscriber. If not, you're missing out. The news, before it even becomes news, tomorrow's news today. Could this be his hour? Could this be his year? Well, back in this significant event from yesterday, we wrote about the election results for Thuringia. That's a region, I don't know if they call them states in Germany, but basically you can see it on the map right there. It's a region in the center, right in the heart of Germany. I think it used to be in what was Eastern Germany. In any event, they had an election there on October 27th, and Richard Palmer wrote about it in November. This just goes back a couple months ago. The left party pulled in 31% of the vote, and the AfD pulled in 23%. And then the CDU, that would be Angela Merkel's party, pulled in 21% of the vote. This is just in those regional elections going back to October. So coming out of that election, they basically had a standstill, gridlock. None of the coalition, if you shut out the AfD, you can't work with them, right? They're the far-right Nazi party, so nobody's going to try to build a coalition with them. And so when you just look at the percentages and the numbers, it didn't add up. Nobody could get a majority. So there had been gridlock since October 27th. Well, Parliament opened yesterday, February 5th. And again, no coalition. So they started to debate, or I guess lobby, for who could be the leader, and nothing was working out. So then this FDP leader, they pulled in only 5% of the vote back in October. His name's Thomas Kemmerich, and he put himself forward as a candidate to be the state premier. And so it was his party. They took in 5% in October, remember, and the CDU, which took in 21.7% in October, and the AfD. So here is Angela Merkel's party coming into an alliance with, of all parties, the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland. No longer a fringe party. They're right together with the mainstream. Just 7 years ago. Only 7 years ago, this party got its start. And so Kemmerich, of course, he's now saying, because it's so controversial in Germany, Kemmerich is saying, well, I'm not, you know, I'm more to the left. I'm not going to be a stooge for the AfD. But the truth of it is, he wouldn't have gotten into power were it not for the AfD and the CDU. So they're pulling his strings. And I suppose if he doesn't do what they like, he won't be in that position for very long. So that gives you some context here as you think back over the last 3-4 months. Now, here's the latest. Today's Times of London. It says, the taboo that has kept the far right out of German government for 75 years was broken yesterday when ultra-nationalists emerged for the first time as the kingmakers in a regional parliament. The AfD, of all parties, now they're appointing or anointing the kings, at least in Thuringia. How much longer before it's all of Germany coming together with these far-right movements? Now, as I say, if you've been reading the Trumpet, you're ahead of the curve here. Going back to another political earthquake, 2017, in the national elections, Merkel's party brought in just 33% of the vote, the CDU, And that was its lowest showing since 1949. This was in the national elections from a couple years ago, 3 years ago. And the SPD party, the left-wing party, it pulled in 20%. And then if you remember, as a trumpet reader, it was the AFD party that pulled in 13%. So it became the third biggest party in Germany. But even still, all the major parties, all the minor parties, they would shun the AFD. You had to, because they're extremists, right? Well, as we wrote about the 2017 elections, it says the big winners, I think this was Brad McDonald, he says the big winners were the far-right Alternative for Deutschland, which gained a shocking 13% of the vote to become Germany's third biggest party. It says the AfD's dramatic rise is sobering. The party was only founded in April 2013. Less than 6 months later, it won 4.7% of the vote in the general election. By spring of 2017, it had representation in 13 of 16 German state parliaments. And now, one of those 16 states, well, the AfD was the kingmaker. Were it not for the AfD, Thomas Kemmerich would have never been anointed yesterday. He wouldn't be premier. Now, there's still some things that are up in the air. There's people calling for new elections. There's this, there's that. But whatever happens, supposing it changes dramatically again tomorrow, as the Times brings out, the taboo that kept the far right out of German government for 75 years, it was broken yesterday. And as we've been saying all through the Brexit process over the last week, now that Britain is out, what can we expect in Germany, in Europe? What we can expect is for prophetic events to accelerate. And that's happening. The Times says this, the Alternative for Deutschland, a party, rejoiced after its support swept a liberal politician into power in the central state of Thuringia, leaving him heavily dependent upon its approval. It says the repercussions shook Berlin as Angela Merkel's party came under pressure to explain how it allowed the AfD such a significant breakthrough. How could you allow this? How could the CDU even consider this? It says the AfD's success in Thuringia came after months of deadlock following an inconclusive election in October. That's the one that we wrote about a week or two after. It says analysts had expected the state's left-wing chief minister to eventually cobble together a minority government with other parties on the left. Instead, both the powerful AfD and CDU groups swung behind Kemmerich yesterday, propelling the liberal Free Democratic Party candidate into office. What a change. What a turnaround. The CDU coming together for the first time with the Alternative for Deutschland party. Now, things that we've written over the years, think back to the migrant crisis in 2015 and 2016. Well, just go back to the AfD. It wasn't even a party until, what was it, April 2013? Then you have the immigration crisis. We wrote a lot about that in 2015, 2016, and we said in the trumpet that, look, there's a lot of Germans that are unhappy with what's happening. And you have Merkel's administration basically lying to the German people. They weren't cracking down on illegal immigration at all. They just opened the floodgates. And as we wrote at the time, what happens when a majority of Germans lose confidence and trust in their leaders? What happens when they learn that they were lied to? In March of 2017, we said this, Germany is vulnerable. Its political order is fragmenting. The upstart AfD and the left party are growing in popularity, threatening to destabilize the country's entire political system. It says both are generally considered too extreme for mainstream parties to work with. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. The CDU, Angela Merkel's party, and the Alternative for Deutschland party, they made it possible. They cleared the way for Thomas Kemmerich to come to the fore, as he did yesterday. Back to the Times of London here. It says Norbert Borgens, co-leader of Mrs. Merkel's Social Democrat Coalition Partners, the SPD, they come from the left wing. It's like the Democrats joining together with the Republicans, so it's not the strongest of coalitions. I'm talking about the national government, Merkel's government. There's quite a few people in the SPD that are already unhappy with the coalition and have already considered pulling out. But coming back to the Times, it says this SPD leader described the vote as a scandal of the highest order and an unforgivable bursting of the dam against the hard right, increasing speculation that the episode could deal a death blow to the ailing coalition. It wasn't the strongest of coalitions to begin with. And so you go back to what we have prepared you for. The vulnerability of the entire political system in Germany. How that the stage is being set perfectly for the Daniel Eightman to appear. Oh, yes. It'll be just like Brexit. We'll be raising our voice behind the mic here. As soon as it happens, you know that it will. God prophesied of this. The Times says, since the AfD was founded in 2013, it has been treated as a pariah by mainstream parties, which have built increasingly torturous alliances in their efforts to keep it out of government. As the party has gained ground at the ballot box, however, it has become harder to shut out entirely. Now, keep in mind, just to add another angle here, that what you're seeing, it's exactly what happened in the 1930s. Oh, well, we can't deal with or work with the Nazis. Too radical, too extreme. But over time, that changed. Over time, well, we can't ignore them. There's too many of them. They have pretty strong support in this little region or this region over here. So we're seeing history repeat itself. Treated as a pariah, but not any longer. It says this senior AfD MP said the events in Thuringia prove that old parties can no longer ignore the will of the voters and can no longer ostracize the AfD. That's what one AfD representative says. You can't ostracize us anymore. We're getting a stronger voice in politics. We've got the support of a larger number of people. It says, however, many of his opponents, including senior figures in the CDU and the FDP, were appalled, particularly as a Thuringian branch of the far-right party is led by Bjorn Höcke, a notorious demagogue who called for a 180-degree shift in remembrance of the Holocaust. Now, they had the Holocaust remembrance ceremonies just last week in Germany. And Thuringia, the AfD leader in that state, is a man by the name of Bjorn Höcke, and we've quoted from him. We've played sound bites from him before. He says, hey, we need to have a 180-degree shift when it comes to the Holocaust. Hokey's complained that German history is being made into something rotten and ridiculous, and it shouldn't be. We should be proud of our history, even our recent history. Hokey's been quoted as saying this, Germans are the only people in the world to plant a monument of shame in the heart of its capital. And what monument is that? Well, that's the Berlin Memorial to the murdered Jews in Europe from World War II. He calls that a monument of shame. He heads up the AfD party in Thuringia. The same party, the CDU, Angela Merkel's party, just joined together with in order to build a majority, a coalition, or whatever it's called in that state government. It's a little confusing, the German politics. But what a significant change. What a significant development. It falls right in line with everything that we've been saying at thetrumpet.com. Hokey said the AFD is the last revolutionary, the last peaceful chance for our fatherland. This is it. We're the solution. This is Germany's last chance, says this man, the leader of the AFD in Thuringia, who calls that Holocaust monument in Berlin a monument of shame. That's one of your more popular leaders in Germany right now. And evidently, the CDU embraces him. Just judging by what happened yesterday. The Times said Gerhard Baum, a former federal interior minister from the FDP, said that a whiff of Weimar had settled over Germany. I'm an old man, 87 years old, he told the German press agency. The horrors of the Nazis and the post-war and of the post-war era, the horrors of the Nazis and of the post-war era, when the Nazi legacy was still alive, are deep in my bones. And in this decision in Thuringia, I see a step in the direction of Weimar. That's an 87-year-old man saying, the direction here is frightening. It's history repeating itself. Deutsche Welle has a column saying a disgrace for Germany. A disgrace for Germany. Deutsche Welle says a state premier has been elected to office with direct support from the far-right nationalist AFD. The utter breach of taboo shows just how weak opposition to the rise of the right in Germany really is. It shows just how weak the resistance is against these far-right radical movements. And it's happening in not just any old nation, it's happening in Germany. It's happening in the heart of Europe. Well, Deutsche Welle goes on to say that this turmoil, this instability, this scandal, that it could ultimately lead to a new federal election. This could bring down the whole system. This could pave the way for someone to step right in by flatteries. Daniel 11, I think it's verse 22, 23. A man of dark sentences. Deutsche Welle says, what will Chancellor Merkel do if state party members really do join forces with the AFD and its state leader, Bjorn Hoke? It says the man has called Germans crazy for erecting a monument of shame for murdered Jews in the capital. What is Miss Merkel going to do here? Deutsche Welle says this notable day should be one that shakes Germans to the core. And yet, as you wake up today, if you're in the United States, you'll hear nothing about this on talk radio or on MSNBC. Maybe there's an obscure article in the back pages of the New York Times. I don't know. I haven't looked. But they won't be talking about it on TV. You won't hear, probably won't hear anything about it in Fox News. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. I hope they do. But you're not going to hear much about it. Not in the age of Jeroboam. Not when it's all things Donald Trump. Day one after the acquittal. And what are we talking about? It's not over yet. Oh, it's far from over. It could go back to the House and we could subpoena John Bolton and start this all over again. I'm sure they're already plotting. Fundamentally transformed. That's the last trumpet. And then two trumpets before that. Is this his hour? Germany, it says on the cover, Europe's most powerful nation needs a strong leader. It's pretty amazing just how far-sighted the Trumpet magazine really and truly is. It's a notable day yesterday. It's a notable day that should shake Germans to the core. Deutsche Welle says this February day has shown just how much of their history Germans have forgotten and just how much President Rivlin's warning, this is speaking of the Israeli president that was there, I think he was in Berlin just last week. It shows just how much President Rivlin's warning that Germany must not fail has to do with all of us. It also reminds us that no one in Germany should kid themselves into thinking history cannot repeat itself. This is Deutsche Welle. This is not the Trumpet magazine. Well, you've heard that. You've heard similar statements like that in the Trumpet. But this is Deutsche Welle today. Don't kid yourself about Germany. You Germans in Germany, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourselves into thinking that history cannot repeat itself. Bjorn Höcke, the leader of AfD in Thuringia, he said yesterday marked a new start for Thuringian politics. Yesterday we prevented it from becoming a left-wing state. Yesterday, to paraphrase, we saved Thuringia. We did, AfD, together with CDU. Together with the mainstream party. Germany should be shaken to the core. Another Deutsche Welle piece. It says there were protests in Germany after a conservative state premier was elected with help from the far-right Alternative for Deutschland. However, the newly elected leader dismissed the idea of a coalition with the party. So he's trying to say all the right things to please everybody. But this is a political earthquake. It says further on, together with the votes of his own party, speaking of Kemmerich, and the center-right Christian Democrats, the CDU, that's Merkel's party, the party of Chancellor Angela Merkel, Kemmerich came away with 45 votes. His challenger came away with 44. So he won by one vote because the AfD came together with the CDU. It says, finally, the outrage on social media over AfD's role as kingmakers was swift and resounding. Ordinary Germans, public figures, and politicians all expressed their consternation, saying the FDP and CDU had gotten into bed with fascists. They've allied themselves with the fascists. Now, as I say, we'll get to the prophecy part of it in just a second. But just consider the history. This article, I think Richard wrote it in November. He talks about this pattern. An economic crisis hits, causing people to lose faith in the established parties. The mainstream consensus got it wrong. So a few start to support more extreme parties. This shift in support means mainstream parties can't get a majority. The mainstream right, for example, must either form a coalition with an extreme party or reach out to its opponent on the mainstream left. Now the death spiral kicks in. A left-right coalition struggles. The two sides fundamentally disagree and cannot take bold action. It draws the mainstream parties together toward the center, and so more voters reject the mainstream and embrace the extreme. This is the Trumpet giving you tomorrow's news today back in November. And Richard's just relying on history to look into the future. It says, or if the extreme is brought into the government, the fringe party is normalized. Voters who would once have been put off by its extreme status now embrace it. Either way, the fringe grows in power. This makes it even harder to form stable coalitions. Problems get worse. Support for the extreme grows. This is exactly what happened in 1930s Germany. This is thetrumpet.com just three months ago. It's exactly what happened. Richard says in 1928, the Nazi Party came in ninth with only 2.6% of the vote. Think of it. In 1928, Hitler's party got 2.6% of the vote. Now, with respect to AfD, it didn't even exist more than 7 years ago. It starts with just a tiny, tiny sliver of the electorate in 2013. Then it bumps up to 4 or 5% a couple years later. Then it shocks the world in 2017, 13%, third biggest party in Germany. And now it's the kingmaker in one of Germany's 16 states. Look at the pattern of history. 1928, the Nazi Party came in ninth with only 2.6% of the vote. The Communists did four times better with 10.6%. But this level of support was enough to start the spiral. No one could form a stable coalition. And then he writes, in the next election, the fringe did much better. The National Socialists won 18% and became Germany's second most popular party. The Communists fell back to third. This is all late 20s, early 1930s. It says, for 2 years, Germany limped along with the president and a minority government until fresh elections were held in July 1932. The election solved nothing. No one could form a coalition. As a result, they held elections again in November. Well, and then you know what happened soon thereafter. It'll be a little bit different this time around. My father makes this point in that January issue of The Trumpet because of what Daniel 11 prophesies, that this time around, it's by flatteries. It's not going to be quite the same as it was for Adolf Hitler, but certainly there are a lot of patterns. Patterns that are being repeated. Daniel 8 in verse 23, it says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. So this happens at a time when transgressors are come to the full. On that point, the president got it wrong the other night, talking about this revival of the family and morality. I guess he didn't use that word exactly, but still, we're not seeing a resurgence in biblical morality, not by a long shot. What we're seeing is a time when the transgressors are come to a full, and God says when that happens, look out for a king of fierce countenance. He's called a king in Isaiah 10. He's called the king of the north in Daniel 11. In Daniel 11, I see now in my notes, it's verse 21. He's referred to as one who obtains the kingdom by flatteries. So this is a smooth operator. This is a charismatic fellow. He's not going to come in by the votes of the people. He maneuvers his way in to just kind of bring some sanity to the situation, to try to fix what's broken. In that January trumpet, my father talked, we went through the Yalta anniversary just 2 days ago. I guess that was Tuesday's program. How that it was the Allies, together with Russia, it was their inflexible purpose to make sure that Germany never did rise again militarily. My father said, today, Germany is again a major military power, and it's being encouraged to become even greater. So here's all this political turmoil happening in Germany, and meanwhile, you have the United States, and you have Britain, and you have Judah, all encouraging Germany. Look, you've got to put more into your military. You've got to set aside more of your budget to build up your military power. And like my father brings out in that January issue, Germany's industrial might, it's already churning out all kinds of weapons. It's one of the top four weapons distributors in the world. And what happens when Germany decides, you know what, one of these nuclear subs, let's make some of these for us. Let's make some of these for Germany. Let's make some of these for Deutschland. It says, for now, this is my father's article, for now the nation lacks a leader willing to make this decision. This will change overnight when a strong man gets control. Germany's transformation under Adolf Hitler in the 1930s, dramatic as it was, will not even compare to what is coming. That's quite a statement. That was in your January issue of The Trumpet. There's going to be some similarities for sure, and a few stark differences. This one's going to be all the more shocking. My father, back in the October month last year, the strong man rising in Europe, this is the Key of David, and here's what he had to say, clip three.
Germany dominates Europe today. Everybody knows that. They are the powerhouse in Europe, and they're gaining more and more power. And this man that I'm talking about is rising on the world scene and certainly has a lot of understanding of politics and is a brilliant man in so many ways. But there is a hidden power in Europe, and that all revolves around Germany. And soon they're going to lead, this man's going to lead 10 kingdoms on this earth to do some very devastating things.
That's from October. And then this January issue, the one with Gutenberg on the cover, my father says this prophesied leader may well exploit this frustration and confusion by rallying a coalition behind him and vaunting himself to power. This would take a lot of intelligence and calculation. It would require unusual skill to deceive people in high places with flattery. But the prophesied Daniel 8 man will do it magnificently. My father says, Adolf Hitler was a man of mental strength, but he was not as adept at deceiving people as this coming strongman will be. This leader will come as an angel of light. This leader, he's coming and he's going to flatter people. That's what your Bible prophesies. It's going to see a widespread majority. They'll receive him with open arms. He seems like the solution to all of Germany's problems and troubles. And yet Isaiah 10 speaks of this man and his kingdom as a rod in God's hand, and God's going to use it to correct his people, Israel. Verse 5 says, this is Isaiah 10, O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation, it says. So God calls this nation, these 10 kings that my father spoke about in that clip, headed up by this king, he calls it his rod or his staff. God had mercy on our nations. God gave us a temporary resurgence so that we could, as we've covered already this week, so that we had more of a chance, an opportunity to repent. But that's not going to happen on a mass scale. And so God has to correct in love. Verse 6 says, I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. God sends the rod of his anger against a hypocritical nation, or against hypocritical nations, plural. God's doing the afflicting. This is what it takes, ultimately, to get our attention. This is what it takes, ultimately, to humble us, to bring us to the point where we'll look to God, where we'll receive God's instruction, where we'll follow God and submit to His authority. You know, at the PAC last week, this was the first night, Saturday night, that would have been the day after Brexit was made official. And I played the clips for you last week. You know, you had Nigel Farage in the European Parliament and all the Brexiteers behind him. And he had that moment in his, it was a great speech. He had that moment where he was waving the British flag and they cut off his mic. Ursula von der Leyen, I think it was. She shut down the mic and said, "You can't bring flags. You can't bring your national flag into this parliament." And yet there was Farage smiling away, waving away. And as I was saying to the people who turned out for the Birmingham PAC on Saturday night, as satisfying as it was, even for me as an American, but for them as British citizens, as satisfying as it was to see Britain stand up to Brussels, to see Britain stand up to this anti-democratic movement, to see Britain stand up to the bullies. As satisfying as that is to watch, this momentous event, Brexit, it brings us one giant step closer to the fulfillment of Isaiah 10. It brings us one giant step closer to God using the rod of His anger to correct our nations. This is why Britain and the European Union could never work. This is how Mr. Armstrong knew it all those years, 47 years. This is how we knew it would never happen, this marriage. It would never work out in the end. Because Britain is prophesied to be on the receiving end of the rod that God's raising up in Germany. It's the rod of His anger. And speaking of this king, he's referred to as a king in verse 12, by the way, the king of Assyria. But verse 7 says, "Howbeit, he means not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart, to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few." See, the book of Nahum talks about a mind change. Habakkuk 1 speaks of this Assyrian resurgence, if you can put it that way. But he doesn't think, going in, this man of flatteries, he doesn't think he's going in there to cut off nations, not a few. But in the end, that's exactly what happens. Nations are cut off because of this king and his kingdom. Nations, plural. My father in the latest trumpet, not the one with Gutenberg, but the one with Pelosi on the cover, he says, there are three end-time leaders prophesied to come in the deceptive, destructive spirit of Antiochus. All three Antiochuses seek to blot out the name of Israel physically and spiritually. That's what we read here in Isaiah 10:7. It's in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few, to blot them out. That's the point my father makes in the most recent trumpet. Here's what Mr. Armstrong said, Herbert Armstrong, many, many years ago on his radio program, clip 2.
Gradually and now faster and faster, a new power is being developed from underneath the surface, a new world power which the public now least suspects, which the world does not yet see, doesn't realize, doesn't dream is coming. But it is developing just as prophesied in Europe, a resurrected Roman Empire that will combine some 350 millions of population, a power so mighty that our Western peoples will stand aghast when it flashes suddenly into full being. Yes, your Bible says that the world will be startled.
The world's going to be startled when this is finally out there and in the open, and everyone can see. Most don't see it now, but you do. If you've read The Trumpet, you know. Even some of these headlines today on the significance of yesterday's vote in Thuringia. A disgrace for Germany, says Deutsche Welle. An event that should shake Germany right at its core. That's just yesterday, and that follows just a few days after. Not that they're directly connected. But just a few days after Brexit, this momentous event that Mr. Armstrong prophesied 50, 60 years ago. And now we can surely look for prophetic events to accelerate in Germany. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a few emails, some comments that we've gotten back from you listeners in recent days. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
Just a few emails here from some of our listeners. This in response to yesterday's show. It says, the president did a classy job by not mentioning the impeachment. Miss Pelosi looked like a child stomping in a play box who swiped your toy. If she hadn't ripped the speech, she would have looked classy. Big mistake for her, according to this listener. Another one here says, good afternoon, Trumpet Daily Radio Show. And then I've got a few emojis. One of the world, one a thumbs up, and another one a smile, a nice smile with rosy cheeks. And it says, your broadcasts are terrific. Good morning, Mr. Flurry. Wonderful program this morning. Thank you from North Carolina. And then another one, the last one here, in response to yesterday's show, speaking of President Trump's State of the Union address, best speech ever from President Trump. Well, I did hear a little bit of the news, talk radio, even after my show yesterday, and I think the ratings were pretty strong on that, and some of the commentators echo what that listener just said there, that this was one of the president's best speeches. So it's interesting when you see the contrast with that, and then the attacks coming from the radical left, and then, of course, putting it together with events happening around the world, sobering times indeed. In response to Tuesday's program, says, love the radio show. Thank you for the truth, and God bless you. Another awesome show. Great work to you and your team. This one here, in response to Monday's program, it says, well done, Mr. Flurry. The strength of this program should cause many to open their eyes, ears, and minds. It may be that they will experience real joy, peace of mind and hope, perhaps for the first time in their lives. What's to lose? God bless the PCG. Another one here, it says, this is in response to the TV program that we played over the weekend, What's Next for Great Britain? You can find that video at thetrumpet.com website. But this viewer says, this is the last chance for Britain. I pray that we wake up, repent, and call on Jesus Christ for salvation. And then again, he repeats, please, I beseech you, Britain, wake up while there is still time. A couple more here. I didn't actually print off the last page, but this is one final one here. It says, the title is what I always have in mind. in my mind, especially these days. I think this is in response to Dwight Falk's program from last week. I forget what his program was titled. In any event, it says, right now I'm commenting without having heard the message yet. We cannot afford not to hear this message. We live in a very different time. Bad news after another, after another, after another bad news. It's been a long time since I've heard any good news. Well, we can certainly conclude by saying there's a lot of good news beyond what's immediately prophesied for Europe, for the United States, for Britain, for Judah. We know all these events, even what Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 about great tribulation. It does culminate in the blessed return of Jesus Christ to this earth and the rule, the established rule of God's kingdom on earth. Well, that's all that we have time for on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you again tomorrow.